What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be part of the show. Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
All right, 12:03 on the fan. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney here. 877-337-6666. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney inside of the Town Fair Tire studio. Friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tires. Nobody. I'll give you a little blast from the past. I was young when this guy was doing his thing. And I bet maybe, well, Dove didn't really watch TVs. I don't even think Dove's going to. Oh, back then you did? Okay. You have no idea who this guy is. And Hoff, where did you grow up? I know where you are now. Where'd you grow up?
Yonkers. I was for Yonkers guy.
All right. You might know this. I remember, and it was like torture, waiting for the Jeffersons to end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is back in the early 80s-ish.
Yeah.
And it was Jeffersons. Now, let me get this right. Was it the Jeffersons reruns and then PIX News and then Yankee Baseball? Or was it News, Jeffersons, and then Yankee, but whatever the order was, I know Yankee baseball is what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
And even though I love the Jeffersons, and they had a sportscaster, Jerry Girard. You remember that name? You have to remember Jerry Girard. He was a funny, quirky, witty guy. At least that was my perception of him when I was 7 or 8. I mean, Dove, is that a fair description of Jerry Girard?
So dry.
Dry.
Humor was so dry.
I remember he did a lot of horse racing stuff. Like, he was one of the few to incorporate my dad likes the horses, but I was never into the horse game. Some of these, and that's when these guys were superstars, dude.
Yeah.
You had to wait. Oh, are we going to be snowed out at school tomorrow? I don't know. Let me see what this guy says at 11:26 at night.
So I found him. I found the name.
What?
Ira Joe Fisher.
Ira Joe, of course. Yeah, yeah.
He used to say, connect the cute.
All right. I still don't remember that. Hoff, do you? I don't know. But we were older, first of all, and that's number one.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm talking about really.
He was at WCBS, he left in 03.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was there in the 90s.
95,
I mean, it was in college
1995.
In the 90s. I didn't really care what Ira was named. Dr. Joe Ira?
Ira Joe Fisher.
I didn't care what he had to say
in
the 90s.
He came in 95. That's why I remember him.
95?
You got to remember, I worked at CBS. Obviously CBS Sports or CBS Radio, which was WFAN.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went to TV. So I was doing the morning show. You remember this? I don't know if you remember this. I used to get up and do the morning show on WCBS, reading the sports.
What?
In my off seasons. Yeah.
I don't remember this at all.
In 1999 or so, I would get up in my off seasons and read the sports. I told you this.
You never told me this.
The first time I did it.
Tiki with sports.
I remember being terrified. Cindy Hsu.
Yes, Cindy Hsu, of course.
Was the morning anchor. Uh-huh. And Todd McDermott was the male anchor.
I remember him.
And I would do the sports. He's now down in Palm Beach.
Okay.
Still a good friend of mine. But, yeah, Ira Joe Fisher.
And you did highlights, too? Or you just like,
yes.
This is Tiki with sports. Last night, you're probably mispronouncing all the names, too. You had to butcher all the names. You had to be. Listen, I love you. You're talented. There's no way you were good at that.
The hockey names.
Oh, my God. And on the ice, the Devils, as he drops like so-and-so's Russian name, you have no idea who. Why did they put you in that spot? You weren't ready for that.
Because I was looking to get into media. And so,
all right.
And
well,
so it started with the New York Times. Because I got asked to do like a journal on the New York Times. And so Bill Pennington, you remember Bill Pennington?
Yep, I know Chad better, but...
He asked me to write a journal in the New York Times, so I started writing a journal in the New York Times. And then I started doing WFAN, then I did WCBS, and then the Yes Network happened, and then we wrote those children's books.
Yeah.
And Brian Kilmeade asked me to do Fox and Friends.
So I remember you doing that a lot. I used to do that a few times. I do remember that. Tuesdays with Tiki on Fox and Friends. Oh, my goodness. CNN didn't call you?
No. Didn't know anybody at CNN.
I gotcha.
Not until after I did NBC when... those guys left.
I've got to get, Hoff, you have to dig up footage of Tiki. Now, what year is this again?
This was 99, 2000.
I mean, and Latrell Sprewell with 29 at the Garden as the Knicks dumped the Sixers.
I remember writing the script.
Allen Houston chips in 23.
I remember the first time I did it, BT. Uh-huh. I'm in there, because I mean, I'm there at 3 in the morning, like 3:30 in the morning.
Doing, you did this regularly?
Regularly.
I can't believe I didn't know that.
Regularly. And I remember the first time I'm there, I'm like, wait, I got to write the script myself.
Oh, yeah, you got to write it, put it in the computer.
Yes.
And then it goes into the teleprompter.
And to make it worse, we wrote the scripts. Like, the office was at the broadcast center, which is on 57th and 10th.
Which is where I did Tops for seven
years. That's
exactly
right.
Exactly, yeah.
But the broadcast was at where FAO Schwartz is.
Uh-huh.
Right, in the right under FAO Schwartz.
By Central Park.
No.
Well, right? The old FAO Schwartz?
Yes.
Right, you know, by Central Park.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's close to Central, right under Central Park. Yeah. Yes, you're right. So just south of Central Park, I should say.
Yeah.
Just a half a block and over. But it was right there where the Apple store is now.
Exactly.
Right?
I know exactly where it is.
That's
yeah.
where we broadcast
where
from.
Where the horses used to drop poop.
So I lived on the Upper East Side. I'd have to come all the way over to the West Side.
What a hustler.
To get ready for the show.
Uh-huh.
And then get in a cab and come back to Midtown.
It's impressive.
To do the broadcast.
All the stumble over Russian hockey names.
All the stumble over Russian hockey
names. That is, you know what, dude, that is really impressive. That's impressive. Let me tell you quick, when I want to get back to the phones here, but this is hysterical. Can you imagine how mortified I was when this happened to me? So I graduate, and I'm trying to break into the business. Don't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, Scott Clark... who I love. Scott, always, remember Scott Clark?
Yeah.
Always wore the NYPD
yes,
badge. Always supported the police. Great guy. And he used to wear the earring on the air, too. Remember Scott? He used to wear the diamond earring. For that, I never really understood. But Scott was great. Channel 7 WABC. Long story short, he invites, for some reason, he invites me out of the kindness of his heart. Probably felt bad for me. He's like, this kid will never make it. It's terrible. So he brings me in, and I watched him get ready for his newscast at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And at this point, those guys are making millions. They're rock stars, right? Now it's a little different because we get it from every other spot, digitally, whatever. And Bill Butel was still working there. And I remember I'm watching Scott, you know, write and follow games, and he had a young intern charting, like, this might be a play you want to use highlight-wise. Again, blah, blah, blah. So he lets me watch the broadcast in the studio. And in ABC's studio, they're up on this raised platform, news, co-anchors, weather, and Scott's up there. And I am on the other side of the studio, also on an elevated platform, probably about 8 to 10 inches high.
Okay.
And it's got these, I'm on a couch, it's got four legs. And he's like, yeah, just sit here and you get a chance to watch us. And, you know, just keep quiet and watch us do our
thing. How old are you?
I was out of college.
Okay.
I was 20, 24,
okay.
You know, ish. All of a sudden, the newscast, I hear the music. I think that was it. The music starts and I move to shift my, this is probably about 20 seconds into the music. Now the light's on, now the broadcast starts.
Yeah.
And I actually move my body just to get comfortable. The freaking couch, the leg of the couch falls off the platform and it goes dump, boom. It makes this loud noise, right? Somehow I caught myself with my left hand, okay? I held that. My arm was I was sweating. My arm was shaking. I was almost inverted, partially inverted, Teak. And I thought the thing was going to flip because all my weight was, it was not even.
Yeah, it was hurting you by shifting.
Correct.
I know what you mean.
I don't know how long the first segment was. I don't know, 3 minutes? It was minutes where I had to hold this thing. It was, I mean, I was dripping. Boomer thought I was sweating in the studio that day. I was dripping, terrified. I thought I was done. And he was the nicest guy in the world. Nice guy. Anyway, I don't know how those stories come
live,
up, but
live
they will
TV.
Come out from time to time.
Live TV.
Over to Tiki with Igor Larionov, the professor for the Red Wings, who had a good game against the Devils last night. Let's get Joe, who's on Staten Island. Joe is on the fan, Tiki and Tierney. Joe.
Hey, hi, guy. How you guys doing? It was great interview with Wade Corvette that I heard recently. I had a question. I mean, this year, of course, I went to the Jet game. And, of course, it was against New England in my home, and we lost that game. But as I was there, just looking up at the top to see the players there.
The Ring of Honor?
Yeah, the ring.
The Ring of Honor, yep. Yeah. I don't see Wayne Corvette's number there.
Wayne is...
I thought Wayne went into the Ring of Honor. He definitely did something where they honored him. I haven't been to a Jet game. Last Jet game I went to was when we beat the Cowboys when Darnold threw the 93-yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson.
Yeah,
he's in the Ring of Honor.
Wayne Corbett is in the Ring of Honor.
He's in there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Joe Namath. I was like, man, I just missed seeing that number on the field. And I mean, I wonder, can a player, like, let's just say they just went after they get a tight end, like, let's say the tight end from Atlanta, Hurts, which I think he could be asked for a trade because they got the new guy last year. And I say the Jets, can that player ask Wayne Corbett, hey, can I wear your number? Is that all right or
I think
no?
You can.
Yeah,
I
no, his number is not
yeah.
retired.
No, that's true. But, yeah, but in general.
In general, I don't think they would even ask at this point.
You can. It doesn't hurt to ask. I mean, we could ask for a raise. Coles, we ain't getting one.
What number did Coles wear?
Laverne? 87, Coles.
87, that's right.
I used to be so. Now I don't care about what numbers these people, the players
Jets
wear.
The Jets are Namath, Martin, Klecko.
Weeb Eubank.
Yep. Larry Grantham.
And Klecko took a little longer than him. First of all, Joe Klecko should be in the Hall of Fame. I know everybody in New York's heard that debate, and it's probably recycled and old at this point.
He went,
but how the hell Joe Klecko's not in the Hall of Fame is a joke.
Yeah.
Joke.
It's just
a joke.
Well, you know the story, BT. There's hundreds of players that just don't even get discussed anymore because they were all decade-type players.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning for a decade, they were one of the top players in the league. But they're not even in the conversation.
Yeah.
So it's just really hard in the NFL.
It's not fair. I hear you. Hirsch is in Valley Stream. Hirsch is on the fan with Tiki and Tierney. Hirsch, how are you today?
What's up, gents? How are you?
Good,
man. What's happening?
BT, the first time, only time I ever met you was many years ago. You were doing a remote at the senior golf tour over at Eisenhower Park.
I got a funny story from that day. Go ahead.
So all I remember is, other than it being a great day, you were super cool to me, and I was there with my youngest kid who's now 19, so it was a long time ago. And so it just stuck in my mind that you were a great guy, and that's why I always support you and follow you, and I was so happy that you got the spot midday.
Thanks, man.
The reason why I'm calling, I'm 50, so I guess we're in the same age range-ish. Mm-hmm. You really hit home just now when you mentioned Jerry Girard, and it almost brought a little tear to my eye because you're right about him being a horse racing guy.
Yeah.
My late father, may he rest in peace, was a horse racing guy, and then I, all these years later, am a huge horse racing guy. I was fascinated with Jerry Girard as a kid. I'm also a stand-up comic, so I love the fact that he was hilarious.
Yeah.
My father got me, I still have it to this day, a black and white autographed picture of Jerry Girard. He was sarcastic and dry and intelligent and way to bring it back and bring me back to my childhood today. I really appreciate that.
I love it. I mean, listen, you know, every day we're not going to walk down, you know, nostalgic lane here, but hopefully you'll get a lot of that on this show. Those things they mean a lot to me and they mean a lot to Tiki, different experiences, but I love that's one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Right.
I love that stuff, man. Thanks for the call, Hirsch.
Tell stories, connect with people.
Oh,
man.
My God. Hopefully I don't bore you with the stories.
I mean,
I'm going to hit you with another one.
Clearly, people know it. Right?
Well,
they know
Jerry.
Jerry, yeah.
Hirsch brought up there was an event. Jeez, I'm forgetting his name right now. Damn it. He's a Staten Island guy, too. He was on the senior tour. And this was in, I don't know, 2005 or 6-ish.
Yeah.
And he's playing at the senior event at Eisenhower. And, you know, back in a different life, the old station, I was doing my show out there. And they asked me if I wanted to be a caddy for a day.
Nice.
Caddy for this guy.
So, I got you.
I'm like 100%.
Was he the only professional there?
No, it was all professional. It was a tournament.
It was all
professionals, right?
Go ahead.
So it's a senior event. I'm like, absolutely. I love to do it. So I meet him, class act. Damn, if my dad wasn't so antiquated with his phone, he could just text me the guy's name, but he's still got that damn flip phone, which he won't get rid of, so he can't even text me now because I guarantee he'll remember his name. Albus. Jim Albus. Look it up. Hoff. Jim Albus. Staten Island guy. It's Albus. I mean, I believe it's Jim, but it's definitely Albus. Anyway, I meet him. Really good guy. Really nice guy. And I'm his caddy. So he stripes.
Jim Abbas, an American professional golfer born in Staten Island, New York.
There we go.
New Dorp High School.
I think he played college baseball. I remember talking about baseball.
Went to Bucknell and was a successful baseball player.
Yeah,
while I was at college. He took up golf and eventually
became a pro. after he did everything that he did, he took up golf and he became a pro.
Yeah.
Unlike us.
Currently 81 years old.
God bless Jim Abbas. Jim, if you're somehow hearing this or somebody gets this to you, God bless you, bro. So here's what he tells me.
You caddied for him.
I caddied for him the whole day. And I'm thinking, like, is this guy going to actually ask me for yardage? And, like, am I going to have to really work? And I was prepared to do whatever it took. So they give me the big white bib, the caddy bib, right? And it's hot as hell out. And I'm like, oh, I got to wear the Oakley so I can look the part, you know, like Bones or one of these guys on tour. And he's playing, I believe he was a TaylorMade guy. I had a couple of TaylorMades in the bib. And I pick up his bag. He's like, and this is younger. I'm younger before my back surgery, before all the surgeries I've had. I think I could do anything. This is then. And he goes, you going to be able to handle this? You look like you're still in pretty good shape, pretty young. I'm like, yeah, absolutely, sir. Whatever. I got it. Absolutely. He said, you sure? I said, yes. Tiki, I picked this thing up. It was almost 85 pounds. I'm like, I got it to myself. Yeah. I got to lug this damn thing around for 4.5 hours? Are you? No pull cart. Lug it.
How did he finish?
No, listen. He stripes this tee shot down, and there's a gallery. There's, like, grandstand.
Okay.
And, hey, Jim, good shot, Jim. That a boy. It's not like it's Tiger Woods, but there were people there. And I lift it up. I'm sweating. I'm dying. He goes, hold on. And when you walk from the tee box, you've got that narrow cut of grass.
Yes.
Okay. I start to walk there. He goes, hold on. I said, let me check something here. He starts unzipping bags, and he starts taking out 25-pound weight here, 10-pound weight here, 10 pounds here, 5. Guy had 85 pounds weight in his bag.
He was messing with you?
Yeah. He goes, try this. Maybe you can handle this, you wimp. I go, dude, that is awesome. That was so much fun. Wow. Joe Poe is in Queens, and Joe Poe is on the fan. Joe Poe.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, T. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. You really got my attention with the Jerry Girard broadcast. But I remember when it used to be the news, F Troop, and then the Yankee game. And then I remember after the games, Jerry Girard would come on and he'd do all the, the main sports scores. And then he would do this thing. He goes, and now for soccer scores. And he would do a big yawn like that.
I don't remember that. I love that, though. Yeah. That's funny.
My friends, we still bring it up today. And now soccer scores. All the cameramen laughing in the studio. That was awesome.
That is good.
One more point. I think Don Maynard's number is retired.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maynard is.
And,
yes.
Tiki, not a Giants fan. I never was. But I think you were the best running back they ever had.
I appreciate that a lot, man. I appreciate you, Joe.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You got it, Joe.
Appreciate
you,
man. Here's the full list. Freeman McNeil, Wesley Walker, Marty Lyons, Leon Hess, Matt Snell, Don Maynard, Winston Hall.
Offensive lineman.
Yeah, from
the 70s. Can I ask you a question, though?
Weeb Eubank, Gary Philbin, Al Toon, Mark Gastineau, Wayne Corbett, Emerson Boozer, and Kevin Mawai. He was the last one to go in 2017.
I got a question, I'm not trying to disrespect him.
Yeah.
Why are we honoring Leon Hess?
I mean, he was the owner.
Leon Hess do?
He was the owner.
Okay.
That's all. I mean,
he was the owner during some pretty lean times.
Yeah. He was the owner, though. I mean, the owner's gotta be in the Ring of Honor, doesn't he?
I mean, you think Stevie Cohen's gonna hang the Wilpons? I don't know. I mean, I just... because Leon Hess.
He was the first owner, 1963.
All
part
right.
of the consortium that bought the Nets, or the Jets, I should say.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I knew that they honored him, but when you said that, I'm like, Leon Hess? Really?
Don't be a hater
I'm
on Leon.
I'm not. That's why...
your guy,
I'm not trying, he's not my guy. I mean, he owned the team that I loved.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's my guy.
But
would infer that he did good things for me, and I loved him. I mean, he owned the team.
Did he not own the team when the Jets won the Super Bowl?
I wasn't born yet, dude.
Okay, but did he not own the team when the Jets won their only Super Bowl?
It's irrelevant to me.
The answer is yes.
But it's irrelevant. Well, it shouldn't be irrelevant to me. I get it.
By the way,
it's about my life, though.
He owned the team the year they won the Super Bowl, the year after he bought the team.
Oh, Leon has bought it. So, here we go.
Hey. Got to give him credit.
All right. I'm not trying to be unfair. I don't know. Maybe that was not an intended low blow.
Yeah,
but
it was.
No, it definitely wasn't intended.
Hating on your
every
own
Jet
squad.
Fan that heard me say that is shaking their head saying, he's not really wrong. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. All right, some good news with baseball. Some bad news with baseball. We'll get to that coming up. And more your calls as well. Tiki and Tierney up until 2, and then it's Carton Roberts on the Fan.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, play WFAN.
Now here's a depressing stat for you. You ready for this? I can't take a lot more Randall stuff, but I saw this during the break. I've got to read it. Julius Randle, everybody. So, Randle's efficient field goal percentage after last night's game calculated.
Effective.
It's efficient.
Efficient.
Yeah, efficient field goal percentage.
Gotcha.
EFG is down to 46.4% on the year, which ranks Randle dead last in the entire league in the category among players who have played at least 20 minutes in at least 20 games this season. Dead last.
Wow.
All right. That was further depressing. Maybe we can extrapolate a little bit of joy from this, although I don't know. Because there's two ways to look at the baseball situation here, Teak, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're conversing and, you know, I mean, you have to. I mean, I shouldn't sound stunned that they're having a conversation, but they seem at least motivated. They're meeting again today. They connected for a few hours yesterday. All right, so at least let's give them, on the most surface level, a little bit of props for trying to get this thing done.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is 2 days in a row that they're chatting, but I think it comes down to a little bit of the conversation we had with Keith Hernandez, how the league at some point will realize that they cannot start this season in a lockout. It will alienate fans. It will piss them off because it feels like it's millionaires and billionaires fighting over, you know, how they're going to distribute money. It's not that simple because there's actually a lot of issues that I think are on the table that are important to both sides financially. But I think at some point this does get done. And maybe it takes a little bit longer, but there's no way they're not starting this season on time.
Well, I hope you're right, but now this might be construed as the depressing part of the equation. Let me read this for you. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. On Monday, MLB and the MLB Players Association held their most substantive bargaining session of the lockout, with the players withdrawing their proposal for earlier entry into free agency, among other things. That's all good so far.
Yep.
The two sides will meet again Tuesday and meet on back-to-back days. Qualifies progress. That's good, what we just said. But according to multiple reports, including something from The Athletic, MLB Deputy Commissioner Dan Halem informed the MLBPA the league is willing to lose regular season games over several key outstanding items during Monday's meeting.
Did they mention them?
But yes and no. I mean, it's kind of surface stuff. It's more about the threat of a looming loss of games. Now, I don't know, buddy. If they miss games, you know, we have the Yankees. We're going to be talking about the Mets.
Yeah.
We love baseball. So I'm not speaking for us, but if they are so stupid and so selfish to actually chisel games off the season again,
yeah,
they almost deserve the sport to implode.
Well,
how many times can you mess with us?
I don't disagree, and it wasn't that long ago with the COVID situation where they just never intended to play more than they actually played.
Mm-hmm.
But this feels, and this is what I've read also, but it feels true that this is posturing to scare the players. Because so many players, at least we think of players as making a ton of money because of how low the average salary is, or how high, I should say, the average salary is. But in actuality, a lot of these guys, I mean, they're depending on paychecks, right? They're not just, you know, holed away in their mansions. You know, 80% of them hold away in their mansions just chilling, saying, I'm fine. I don't have to work for a year. I'm good. There's a couple guys that are that way, but the majority of MLB players are not that way. There's a couple high end. The top end is heavy, you know, with money. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, the average, is not so heavy with financial resources. So this feels like a scare tactic in so many ways by the league to say, if you guys don't acquiesce to what we're asking, then we're just going to lock you guys out and nobody gets paid. And it might work. I hope it doesn't, but it might work.
Man, I tell you, I mean, I think I say this every year, but I'm really looking forward to the season. Mm-hmm. You know, we're on FAN locally. I think Yankees have some work to do for sure.
Yeah.
I believe they will. We had CC Sabathia on the first week, and we talked about whether it's Olsen, whether it's Chapman, whether it's a stopgap shortstop who can actually field the position as Volpe gets ready and gets some more seasoning down in the minors. You know, there are reasons for Yankee fans, because I don't think they're nearly done, to obviously be pumped. And I know a lot of you didn't want Aaron Boone back, and mm-hmm. you know, are Judge and Stanton able to maintain health as much as they were a year ago? Aaron Hicks probably back in the equation. What's that mean? What's Gleyber Torres? What's Gary Sanchez? You know, how worried should we be about the way Garrett Cole finished the season? I'm not saying it's perfect. The division's gotten a lot better, and by no means am I thumping the chest saying Yankees win 100 games with their eyes shut and just moonwalk to the World Series. I haven't said that for years. Yankees need to close the gap.
Yeah.
But you look at the Yankees, at least what they have and what I think they will do, they'll have a chance. And what the Mets did and what the Mets could still do,
yeah.
I mean, this place is going to be on fire.
Yeah, for New York baseball, it's an important season, or at least it feels like it's an important season for both teams.
I mean, can you imagine Scherzer and DeGrom every back-to-back?
Yeah.
Well, let me put that on bar. DeGrom and then Scherzer. Let me put that in the proper order.
Yeah, of course.
Can you imagine, though?
No. I mean, it'll be great.
I mean, man, they go into Atlanta.
Even though you're not a Mets fan.
No, I love baseball. And I watch the Mets like I watch the Yankees.
You just can't not appreciate it.
My God.
So you will appreciate it regardless.
Yeah. I mean, listen, as good as... I mean, you take Dwight Gooden at his apex. Who was really the second best pitcher on that Mets team? I mean, it kind of fluctuated because David Cohn came after that. Mm-hmm. You know, that 80-18-80, they underachieved, obviously. But, you know, Darling was really good, and Ojeda was really good, and El Cid, when he was on, was borderline unhittable. But I didn't see Seaver Kuzman, but I can't imagine the Mets have ever trotted out anything like this.
Yeah.
I mean, well, early DeGrom DeGrom and Scherzer, dude. Think about what we're going to be watching.
I know.
And I want to watch it.
Or not.
Nah, we're going to watch it. Dolph, what do you think? We're going to be okay with baseball?
We're going to be okay as far as games. There'll be injuries because of a short spring training.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Dolph, I've seen something on the credits here. Is Dolph the executive producer of the Yankee radio broadcasts?
Correct.
Now, what does that entail? What exactly
making lineups.
Do you do? Making a lineup. So basically, Cashman sends it to you before they tell Aaron Boone what to do? I gotcha.
Make sure the guys see what to do with all the commercials, the format, making sure the live reads are all set.
So basically nothing.
One or two of them during the broadcast you may have heard.
Yeah, so basically nothing. You go home at 2 and you hope that the game goes well.
I'm not there for the game. Home for the game.
That's what I'm saying.
I make sure it's in place for it, yeah.
Gotcha. So basically nothing.
Although this was with Turner. With Spike, we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, I feel like everybody gets a credit on the Yankee broadcast. I hear names all, like everybody gets a little shout-out. They got this guy, executive producer, Dolph Kramer. Hoff is, the stats. Oh, man.
Janitor.
Is that where you're regulated to?
Loading the printer with paper.
Cleaning the toilets that they finally updated. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan until 2. And then it's Carton and Roberts. More calls coming up in a sec. All right, 1244 on the Fan. Tiki and Tierney, Carton and Roberts coming up at 2. So tomorrow, and then we'll get back to these busy phones, see what you're thinking. A couple of things to jump in on that we've bounced around on topic-wise today. Joe Shane's press conference tomorrow at 1145. We will carry... And then we will, we have been in communication with the G-Men, and we will have Joe on our show either directly after his introductory press conference or the next day on our show. So definitely looking forward to getting to Joe, know Joe a little bit.
Yeah,
I know you are, obviously,
yeah,
as a giant.
Just to see what the plans are.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Let's get Mike, who's out in Verona, New Jersey. Michael's on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney. Mike, what's happening?
Gentlemen, how are you? Happy Tuesday.
Appreciate you, Mike.
All right, Mike.
So, about the Giants, so it looks like Daboll is going to be the guy. Not a set in stone, but it looks like he's going to be the coach, which I'm a fan of.
Yes.
Next year, Jones is on the team 100%. He's a serviceable starting quarterback, $8 million. He's staying with the Giants for next year, which
yep.
is completely fine.
Stay healthy.
Now, what I think I would love for them to do, if they hire Daboll, And I'm going to preface this by saying I don't want it to happen at 5 or 7. Either you trade back or trade back into the first round. Malik Willis, this kid is raw. He's very raw. I know, BT, you said you bet a few shekels on him. You watched him.
I did, a couple times. Yes, that's true.
He makes some throws that make you say, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you get Dable on this kid, if you get his hands on him for a year, you got Jones, whatever happens. If Dable can get his hands on this kid for a year, he might be able to make him a stud in this league. But by no way is he going to be. But he has a lot of raw talent that can make him very exciting. And not at 5 or 7, but if they trade, you know, they have a lot of mid-round picks. You trade back up into the first round, say 30, 31, 32.
Yeah.
You have the fifth-year option. What do you guys think about
that? He's going to be gone by then. He's going to be gone.
It's an interesting thought.
You think he's not going to fall?
Not to 31. No, he's going to be picked. I think so.
You know what? I think 5 years ago, that maybe happens. A quarterback from Liberty, who nobody really has seen play, unless you specifically went out to scout him.
Or bet him.
But I'm just saying in general, like scouts, Malik Willis 5 years ago is not on anybody's radar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think it's Lamar Jackson effect and even Kyler Murray and some of these other quarterbacks who were non-traditional NFL style quarterbacks who are having success in the league.
Yeah.
You're not stealing that guy. I mean, let's face it, the Baltimore Ravens stole Lamar Jackson because he was destined to be a mid to late second round draft pick. And then Ozzie Newsome moves up into the first, moves back into the first round, just like our last caller was espousing, to get Lamar Jackson. And he told the Baltimore Ravens, you'll thank me later, because obviously you move into the first round, you have a fifth-year option, so you don't have to pay him soon enough. Lamar Jackson wins an MVP. Now, he's had tons of issues this season because of injuries and COVID. I think he had it at least twice, maybe even more than that. And if he didn't have COVID, he had a bunch of sick absences that were non-COVID related. So it's hard to judge him based on this season. But Lamar Jackson like created a new template that guys like Malik Willis won't go unnoticed. So someone who needs a quarterback, I think, could take a shot at him before the end of the first round. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right, BT. And because this is a quarterback light draft, there's not a ton of them. He's going to be one that could go early if teams are desperate.
Well, let me ask you this, and I thought it was a really good idea from, I think it was Michael from Verona.
Yeah.
If you like him that much, and you like the concept of getting him under the tutelage of Dayball.
Yeah, there's just too many other.
Why would you not use one of those premium picks and take him?
I think there's too many other needs, first of all.
Okay.
And you don't know on Daniel Jones. This is why, from a Giants perspective, this season sucked so bad. I mean, obviously, it sucked. The season was terrible, and especially the end of the season was even worse. But you didn't get any answers. Like,
yeah.
There was nothing defined. And sometimes you just want to, at least you know. At least I know that Daniel Jones is not the guy. At least I know that Saquon can stay healthy. At least I know X, Y, Z. You didn't get any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know about Daniel Jones. You don't know if Saquon can get back to where he was, because he looked good in a couple of those games down the stretch. You don't know. And that makes it really hard going into this draft to just take a, you know, start over again. Now, maybe that's what Joe Shane will ultimately decide to do, but we'll ask him when we talk to him tomorrow.
We Thursday. Will. I think he's going inside of 15. I really do. I think somebody's scooting up to get him.
There's teams that need quarterbacks. The Denver Broncos need quarterback. The Washington football team needs quarterback. The Carolina Panthers need a quarterback. The Saints need a quarterback. There's so many teams, again, that feel like they need quarterbacks.
It's true. 877-337-6666. George is in New Haven, Connecticut. And we say what up to George on the fan. George, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, man?
Long-time Jet fan, 1963, the Polo Grounds, and Joe Namath being drafted. So let me rant for a second.
Go for it. You've earned it, George. Douglas.
What?
You've earned it.
You've earned it.
Thank you. So Joe Douglas has to go offensive line in the first round and maybe trade number 10 and get as many picks as you can. Why? Because watching the tape in the review of Zach Wilson, he is a flawed quarterback. His left foot always drops in the bucket. He double pumps on his passes, and he can't read the reads when they put men in motion, and he's made way too many mistakes. That said, you got to do run, play action pass, and go forward.
Yeah.
Second rant is...
And by the way, George, real quick, not that it means that I'm right, I like Zach Wilson a lot more than you do, and so does Tiki. But go ahead.
So second thing about him. If this guy is such a winner and he's this blonde, blue-eyed winner, how do you wind up getting tickets from your uncle, from JetBlue, and give them to the offensive line?
Oh, I don't care about that. That means nothing to me. I don't care about
and
that.
And let me give him the last one.
George, you got to give him some credit. He's just spreading the wealth, man.
Yeah, no. You got to pay out of your own pocket.
Why?
I mean, if I had a rich uncle. Let me give you the last one.
But wait, why do you have to pay? George, why do you have to pay out of your own pocket? Who cares?
Because New Yorkers can read Hazes and Schnurres.
Oh, come on.
And that guy's a cheap guy. Wait, let me give you my last one. If you have the coach of the team and he's your most important guy, how do you let him stay in a hotel with seven kids and not rent a house for him?
Oh, my George, geez. I mean, George, you're nitpicking, dude.
Yeah, you got a lot going
on. Good talk about that, George. Hey, Georgie. I mean, talk to me about sorry, George, clipped you there. I thought you were hanging up. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been so abrupt. Appreciate the call. But come on, let's talk about things that matter. I mean, hotels.
I mean,
let's get him a nice house in the Hamptons with a couple of rafts in the pool.
To be fair.
Who cares where he stays?
To be fair, that is an issue.
No, it's Jets spend money. The Jets are a lot of things. Jets ain't cheap.
No, I'm not saying
they are cheap. There are a lot of things.
I'm not
cheap
saying
is not one
cheap.
Of them.
I'm saying for a head coach to have to stay in a hotel all season long with seven kids.
Okay.
That is pretty. That's rough. I can't imagine.
Was it the whole season or was it when he got COVID?
I don't know. I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't really care, but I'm just speaking specifically to that point.
Wow.
Like if that was the issue, if I had six kids and I had to stay.
I have six kids.
If me and my six kids had to stay in a hotel for a whole season.
Oh,
I mean, can you imagine?
No, give me, give me rope.
I'm pretty sure one of the houses the Jets use is right behind my house.
Okay.
Because I told you this. I used to see, who was it?
DC, Greg Williams.
Greg Williams. Yep. I used to see Greg Williams walking in my neighborhood.
And what did I always say? Pull him on the air. It's when we were doing the show from home with the pandemic.
That's right.
And I wanted to yell at him.
Yeah, it's funny.
He never let me yell at him.
I'd be looking out my window and Greg Williams would be walking outside of my house.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, dude, that looks like Greg Williams.
Yep.
And I couldn't find the house that in my neighborhood that he lived in. It was like, it was the neighborhood over.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets apparently have a house there that they rent to coaches.
Because
I know that, not Shanahan.
LaFleur?
No, who was the one before offensive coordinator? Schottenheimer.
Schottenheimer. So many. I don't even remember anymore.
We almost bought Brian Schottenheimer's house, but it was just oddly constructed, so we didn't.
Oddly constructed.
Yeah, it had like a mother-in-law.
A Jet offensive coordinator with an oddly constructed house.
It had a mother.
Stunning.
BT. It had a mother-in-law entrance that was the whole second floor.
But you never have to see her.
But it wasn't connected to the first. It was just weird.
Because then she can stay up there. You don't have to bother with it.
But why? It was weird.
Maybe you didn't want to see her.
It was just odd. Maybe whoever the new owners are, because I know it's not a Jet now.
I gotcha.
They fixed that. But
listen, the guy, and I respect he's been a Jet fan since, 1963. He's complaining about the gift. And I heard a few people getting into this. The gift that Zach Wilson gave his linemen. Don't care. I only care if Zach Wilson's good.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's, studying film and doing what he's got to do to get better. He's complaining about where the coach lived.
I don't think that's a big deal. The lineman thing isn't a big deal.
It's definitely not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
What did Sam Darnold gave, I think it was like a spatula for the barbecue. Talk about taking the cheap way out.
No, he did.
Yes, he did.
And that was it.
To my knowledge, I think it was
diamond encrusted spatula?
I don't think it was. I don't think so.
It was like a regular Home Depot bought spatula.
I mean, listen, I certainly believe in doing the right thing.
Barbecue come with it?
I know. I don't know the answer. I didn't probe too deeply. I don't care that much. But you've got to take care of the people that you work with, that you make more money than, and that, help elevate you. That is certainly a common practice.
I will never forget the isotoners.
I was just going to say, Dan Marino used to get his guys gloves.
The isotoners. Let's take care of the hands that take care of you.
Correct. But talk about the cheap way out. I mean, isotoners, they were under our Christmas tree. We didn't have a ton of money growing up. Isotoners. Wow. Dan Marino was gifting them.
Dove just told me that with the Jets, with Sam's gifts,
yeah.
The linemen were so pissed, they stole his tires.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that. Craig and Evan were talking about that the other day.
I didn't hear this.
They stole his tires. That's amazing. I'm sure it was, I hope it was in a bit of a jovial way, but
I mean,
you know, in Huber, there's truth, I guess.
They get personalized set of grilling tools and $300 gift card to buy steaks. I mean, that's not really that great.
No, I'm not saying it's good.
Wait, a personalized.
Personalized set of grilling tools.
Which had to cost, what, $200 maybe?
Right, yeah.
I mean, you got to spend more than $500 on each guy. No, for
what
fundamentally,
type of, what type of
that's.
What bling are we talking about? I mean, are these things like bedazzled and stuff like that?
I don't know. I know. Sam Darnold's mom had the bedazzler machine with the glue gun. I don't know what they what the hell they were made out of. And who cares? He's gone.
$500 a guy?
That's I guess bad. My issue is
for
like.
A guy who's making. I mean, he was a first round pick. So
to
was,
me, yeah. Now, but to me, I'd care
not
more about.
His money, but geez.
Oh, you are counting a little bit here. Huh? Just, a little bit. Sounds like you are. What did Eli give the guys his first year?
I don't know.
Text Deal.
It's a very good
Cole,
question.
Actually, you know what? Actually, Deal texted me. Remember when I told the story when we raided the fridge in the sixth grade and had beers?
Yeah.
My dad caught us. He texted me that day. He's like, dude, he's like, I did the same. And he ripped off like seven of his buddies' names. He's like, Joe, Mikey, Timmy, Dave, Willie. We did the same thing. Same age, too. So text Deal. You have his number, right, Hoff? Text Deal and ask what Eli got the line when he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, maybe the better question, what did Kurt Warner get him? Because Kurt was there for 1 year. Then he got benched and he wasn't happy about it. Then he bounced.
I doubt.
But Kurt had money at that point.
I doubt Kurt got him anything.
Oh, that's not right.
He wasn't the starting quarterback.
Doesn't matter. He played.
Yeah.
He started the season.
It's
the reason you get him gifts is because they protected you.
That's a fine line. It really is.
Oh, you can't come empty handed if you're Kurt Warner.
Hmm.
I'm not saying you get him, you know, Rolex watches or, you know, something, but you got to get him something. Text Deal, we'll get the answer.
Yeah.
877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney on the Fan up until 2 with you on the Fan. Then it's Carton and Roberts on this Tuesday.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.